Thanks for downloading the Daily Connect podcast. Now, on our Connect conversation this week, we were joined by Gordon Anthony and Hazel Kelly to talk about the subject of accessing books. How easy is it to access books in 2018, and what methods do we use as blind people now, and what should we consider using? Well, Gordon and Hazel are here to give us some ideas. Hi, both.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Gordon.
Hi, Hazel.
Yeah, so welcome to the conversation today. We want to talk about books. This is a rather interesting week here at RNIB Connect Radio. We're celebrating all that is Catherine Cookson, and we're hearing lots of very interesting stories about Catherine Cookson's books, those that are available in the RNIB Talking Books Library. And it's giving us an opportunity once again to bring up the subject of access to books, and that's what I wanted to talk to you both about. Gordon, from your point of view, you are an author, but you're also an avid reader as well. How do you find access to books in 2018?
Because I am, well, I'm not an expert in technology, but I get some help and I'm able to use some technology. I actually find it's not too bad. I used a Kindle. I've still got one of the very old original Kindles with the keyboard on it, and it talks to me, and I find that gives access to most books. If they're on the Amazon store, you can download them and the Kindle will read them to you. But I must admit that since I discovered the RNIB Talking Library, I use the Kindle less and less, only if there's a book that I really want to read and it's not in the RNIB library. I have a talking book on my phone all the time. I'm never with it. As soon as I finish one, I'm straight back on looking for another one to download. And I just absolutely love the talking books. So for me personally, I find that the combination of the OverDrive app on my phone and the fact that I've got the fallback of the Kindle, which will talk to me a little bit robotically, but better than nothing, I think the two of them mean that I have access to most books that I want to read. I've not been able to read a proper book for 8-10 years now. I've still got a study of the shelves full of books that I would love to read again, and I can't. That's the most disappointing thing for me, that there are some books you cannot get electronically. But most books, yes, you can get them.
You know, two interesting statistics to bring up here. Hazel, I want to bring you in on this.
Yes.
Because the two things that shock me. One is that only 5% of all books that are published are available in accessible formats. That's one thing. And secondly, the numbers of people who are more likely to end up losing their vision are older. You know, people who are older are more likely to lose their sight, so therefore in later life that is more likely. When you put those two together and then you mix in the issue of technology, which many people resist, a lot of people don't want anything to do with technology. They perhaps, if they've lost their sight later in life and they're coming into a world where there is a lot of technology now, they resist that. How does that impact, do you think, and how has that been for you? What do you
well,
stand on that?
Well, it certainly does. I kind of lost my sight that I was unable to read books from about in 2015. I started a sight loss group last year because I found when I did eventually meet other people with sight loss through RNIB, it helped me sort of, you know, come to terms with a peer group. So I started my own sight loss group last year where we all meet for coffee, cake and chat, and I bring in speakers. I'm eyeing up Gordon to come and speak. He said he might just do that. So I'm just a punter that reads and used to read avidly. And I have to say it took about 2 years for me, even although I was used to technology, to start using technology myself. Being a grandmother, I've always got thousands of photos of grandchildren, so my phone kind of is always pull up. But I've just got extra memory on it just now, so I will go back to downloading from the RNIB library, which is a fantastic service, I have to agree. But going back to my group, the majority of people on it are elderly, suffer from macular degeneration. Some of them are not too bad on technology. Their children and their grandchildren help them, but there's an awful lot of them resist it. And, of course, they're missing out on being able to listen to a book. The library services, have a download service as well as the RNIB Talking Books, both of which are a great service, but don't cover every book. So unlike Gordon, I would say, particular books that I want to hear are not always available on either the library services or the RNIB Talking Books, although getting better and better all the time. And that's frustrating. If you've got a favourite author that you want to hear a book that's recorded, it's not always available. However, there are lots and lots available, so I'm trying to wean my group into using a bit of technology. However, you can get CDs from the library. Trouble with them is that it comes in a pack of usually 8, and if you're not sighted very well, you don't necessarily put them back in the right order, so then when you get them from the library, they're in the wrong order, and you're maybe listening to the 5th chapter on the second, the second chapter. The RNIB library sort of gives you a whole mixture, which is great. You can have a memory stick. You can buy a memory stick player, or you can just play it on another bit of equipment. And I must admit, that's my favourite thing. I've got a wee thing that's like a radio that I stick the memory stick in. And when you finish listening to a little bit, where you stop it starts there again. And that's the benefit of the memory stick. So I tend to play it when I'm doing housework and making beds and things like that. I carry it about with me, a bit like listening to the radio, that old-fashioned technology that still works, you know. So, yes, definitely technology helps, but the older folks, as you say, Stephen, are a bit resistant to it, which is a shame. I've actually got somebody coming to speak to my group in November from Online Today. These are people that teach people how to, you know, use technology, their phone and tablets and things, and half of them are all saying, oh no, we don't want to know, but I'm trying to drag them kicking and screaming into the 21st century, which would definitely benefit them. So I've blended on enough about that, sorry.
Yeah. I think that's an important point, because I say I love the overdrive system, but when I first got it, I really struggled with it. I needed sighted help to set it up.
Yes.
The first time I tried to download a book, I didn't think it had worked. I downloaded it again, and then I wondered why the book never remembered where I was. Turns out I had downloaded 2 copies of the book,
and I
was reading them. Every time I stopped and went back, I started up the other one. I thought, I've already heard that.
Yes.
It took me a long time to get used to overdrive.
Yes.
Once I cracked it, it was fine, and I love it. But it's not the most accessible of apps, because it's not an RNIB app. It's the one that they use, but it's not designed for visually impaired people. So I can understand why people would be... I got a little bit frustrated with it at first. And it took me a good few weeks to get used to it. CDs from the library, I used to use them a lot. I don't use them now because I've got overdrive. And I think probably they're the most accessible things for people who are frightened of technology. You can just bung it in a CD player and it will play. But as you say, that brings the problem of the... are they in the right order?
Yeah, the Talking Books Library just sends you out one CD with the whole book on the one CD, which is quite good.
Yeah, that's a better idea.
And also there's, which I think we all forget about, that the RNIB Library also has extra large print books that they actually send you in, you know, a chapter at a time, so you don't have to hold a whole big heavy load of pages. And I'm just in the middle of trying that out on behalf of my members, the ones that won't go into members of my group, the ones that won't use technology, because that's a good service as well, to get extra large print. You can't always get that from public libraries.
This is the Daily Connect on RNIB Connect Radio, and in the Connect conversation this week we are talking about books, access to books in particular, with me, Gordon Anthony, and Hazel Kelly, who are both avid readers. And interestingly, Gordon, you are an author, and Hazel, you've been setting up a sight loss support group for people in your area to talk about getting people, you know, not just about books, but a whole wide range of topics for blind people to come along and share their stories about. Just picking up on what we were talking about earlier, you were talking about the various ways that people can listen to, read books, etc. I just want to ask you both, and Hazel, this might be better pointed at you because of your involvement with the community at large in your group, but I just wonder if we sometimes get the conversation wrong when we suggest to people the various ways they can read. I mean, we talked about there, Gordon, you mentioned the app just there, about the Overdrive app, and I wonder if people are even at the stage where they're thinking, oh, don't even talk to me about apps, I'm apprehensive about that.
Yes.
That's
a
little,
good line. I
little
like that.
Tech joker there. But yeah, I wonder if people are just a bit nervous about even the suggestion of this. And is it important that we tell people, okay, so forget the phone, forget the tablet, you can get it on USB stick, you can get it on CD, and that technology might be easier to explain and begin that process of people moving towards a digital world of books?
Personally, I think yes. I mean, that's my preferred way of using technology, is the USB stick. It's quite simple. There's a little player that looks like a radio that you can actually carry about.
Is that the Sovereign one, the Sovereign USB stick player? Because that's the one I use, and it's lovely.
I couldn't tell you. It's the one I bought from the RNIB store.
That must be the one,
you can get it online. I don't know what it's called. Probably can't, because I can't read it. But it's visually quite easy to use. It's black with big yellow buttons and things like that. So it's quite easy for...
And it's only got like a couple of buttons on it. I mean, it's got a play button, a pause button, which
everything in it, you can charge it up and you don't have to keep putting batteries into it all the time. It's good.
And when you put the USB stick in, like, you know, when you get the USB stick, the only thing you have to do really is make sure you put it in properly, as in the right way round.
Right.
And it just starts playing, doesn't it? You don't do anything.
No, you just push the play button and it starts playing. And when you stop it, and then if you start it again, it's still at the same place it was before. So it's not like a case with CDs. It's difficult to stop them and go back to where you were before. So I find it, personally, it's my preferred way. Although I can use smartphones and I've got apps and I've got tablets, I've found it more difficult to download, as Gordon was explaining, so I maybe never got beyond that part. The girl in the library has given me big instructions, but then the instructions are difficult for me to read for obvious reasons. And I've actually been down with my phone to the library to say, well, you do it for me, and they struggled as well. So hence I went back to the memory sticks again, which I get via the RNIB library.
Gordon, where do you stand on this? Because, you know, you're into your technology as well. I know you contact the Tech Talk show a lot, and, you know, you have an interest in this. Is it fair that we should maybe suggest that the USB stick option, the CD option is there? Or should we say to people, no, you need to get to grips with the latest technology because that's where the world's going? Where do you stand on it?
No, I think the technology is good for me, but I think that different people adapt to different things. You know, there are some some gadgets that I have had suggested to me, and I've said, oh, no, that's no good, I'm not going to use that. And then my wife will go and buy it. She will try and use it, and then you use it and think, oh, actually, yeah, that works for me. Or on something you think, no, that doesn't work for me. Different people, there are different solutions for different people. And I think we need to make people aware that there are a variety of options out there, whether it's, you know, Daisy Player, USB stick, you know, iPhone or iPad, Kindle, whatever, or even the Amazon Echo, which will read your Kindle books to you if you have that facility. There are a whole range of things there, and different people will prefer different things.
I think Amazon, we've got to be grateful to them. I mean, they've come out with a lot of things. I mean, the original Kindle, although it never really worked for me personally. Although, Gordon, it was interesting to hear you previously saying that it actually read back to you, which I didn't know it had that facility. But also they have Audible, which is easy, I think, to download if you download it, and that's on Amazon. And also, you quite rightly say, the Echo. I'm just about to start exploring that and see if I can get one to work, and then I can demonstrate it to my group as well, because it's silly to hold ourselves back because we're frightened of technology. But as Gordon said, then not everything suits everybody, and you have to have a range of ways to listen.
Yeah.
The whole point is we want to still be able to listen to books and have a book that, since we can't read, but we're still made available to us. I must admit, I went for 2 years without anything, and that's hard. It is really hard, having been a prolific reader in the past. I do miss reading a book, though, I have to say. I was always a very fast reader, and, you know, the trouble with books being read to you is that they don't go very fast. that's my only complaint, but there's nothing I can do about that, you know.
Well, if you've got the Overdrive app, there is, because you can adjust the speed.
Can you? Ah, right. Well, there you go. You see,
I'm doing this now with a book I'm listening to. It's a factual history book, and the reader is quite slow.
OK. Okay.
And I've just upped the speed.
Well, there you go. Well, tell you what, Gordon, if I invite you to come and speak to my group, you can explain that to my group as well. But that's good to know, because that's one of the things I find irritating, shall I say, more than anything.
But you can't do that. Obviously, you can't do that with every technology.
No, no.
They don't all operate that way. But I think it's important that people are made aware of the choices that are out there.
Yes.
Because some people will look at something and think, no, that wouldn't work for me. And others will look at it and think, oh, wow, that suits me down to the ground. And it's being aware of what's out there, which I think hits us all. You know, when you lose your sight, you're not aware of a whole load of things.
No,
you only find out by speaking to other visually impaired people.
Well, that's why I came out of my shell, so to speak, once I met other people with sight loss through RNIB. I got signed up as a connector and went on a workshop in Bishop Briggs, of all places. Not that I've got anything against Bishop Briggs, but it was kind of a strange place to meet people. But we kind of worked on everything to do with the whole Connect community and how we should let people know. And it was just meeting all these other lovely people from around Scotland that gave me a bit of confidence back in why I started my group. But a lot of them were younger people, and they're really into their tech, as younger people are. But I'm learning from them still. We're all in contact, so I'm trying to pick up more technology ideas so that I can then pass it on to my group too.
I think that's important. I mean, I'm fortunate that I've got three adult children, and if I have any problem with any tech, I just give them my phone and say, fix that, please, for me, and they'll do it.
Yeah.
That is the answer to it all, really, isn't it? Throw it at the children and say, fix it.
And now grandchildren, as far as I'm concerned, yes.
Mm.
And I know what you've just brought up, Stephen, but kind of going back a bit, you know, I think actually listening to books as opposed to reading them, since most of us can't read that have sight loss, has actually been going on for quite a long time. Because going back to when my children, who are now in their 40s, were young, you know, we used to drive down to Weymouth and Dorset, and we would buy books on tapes, actually, believe it or not, tapes in those days before CDs, and the four of us, my husband and the two girls and myself, would listen to books on the drive. And then my husband reminded me when I was chatting about going to be on this programme today, my husband reminded me that before the children came along, when we were busy getting ready to go to work and then jumping in the car, we both worked in the centre of Edinburgh in different organisations, but we kind of drove in those days when you could drive in. And there used to be serialised books on the radio, and I'm thinking, Stephen, maybe this is something for Connect Radio, that in the mornings they actually would take a book and serialise it, and we still talk about it. I listened to The Day of the Triffid serialised on, I think it would be Radio 4 maybe in those days. The days of Terry Wogan and Jack DeMani on that, so I'm giving away my age. And Jogging Through Mallorca, which was by Robert Louis Stevenson, on a donkey, talking about this strange land that nobody had ever heard of, which was just Mallorca, where everybody goes on holiday. But that still stays in our memory, like listening to these books and being introduced to books that we'd never heard before or never read before, and we were listening to them. So the listening to books actually goes back quite a long way, really, if you think about it, you know.
Yeah, and it's becoming more and more popular.
And it's
more popular. It's so important that we tell people the various ways to do it. And I think, although I didn't really want this to descend into a technology conversation, because I know that puts people off.
Pardon.
No, not at all. Mm-hmm. But I didn't want to do that, because I could easily go down that route. But I don't want to do that. But I think you guys have summed it up much better than I could ever have talked about it. I really do appreciate you both coming on. I could talk to you all day. Very, very interesting. Just quickly, if you will, Hazel, tell us about your support group and where people can go and meet.
Yes, well, it's called Christoffen Connect Sight Loss Group, and we meet on the third Saturday of every month in the Christoffen Heritage Centre, which is on a ground floor, between 2 and 3.30 every third Saturday of the month. And everybody's welcome. We do coffee, cake and chat, talk about things that, you know, we've discovered that supports each other. And then I usually bring in a speaker. The last time we had somebody to actually play Scottish music that we could sing along with. So anybody from anywhere, you don't have to be from Christoffen, is very welcome to join us.
Even Gordon Anthony's
Even
welcome.
Gordon, well, Gordon's definitely going to be dragged down.
Yeah. Gordon, how's the writing going for you?
Yeah, not bad. Not bad. You keep plugging away. I keep churning out the books, and a couple, in fact, I'll put in a plug, one of my books recently was added into the RNIB's Talking Books Library.
Superb.
Which was absolutely fantastic.
Wait, what's it called?
It's called Hunting Icarus.
It's
a story set in the First World War. And my sister actually did fundraising for Talking Books. She did a fantastic job. And she raised enough money to get one adult and one child's talking book added into the library. And through the good offices of Angela Preston at RNIB Scotland, she was allowed to choose one of my books to go into the Talking Books library. So, and I actually listened to it. I never ever read one of my books once it's been published, but that one I did listen to just out of interest, and I actually really enjoyed it. I thought the narrator did a fantastic job of it. So,
superb. Yeah. Gordon and Hazel, thank you so much for coming on to the Connect Conversation today.
Nice to speak to you.
A pleasure. Thank you.